The Daniel Blum introduction. Why am I doing the introductions today? The hellos, the friendly how are yous. Well, right now we're sitting here in a hospital room.
Again.
Yeah, oh wait, that's Brandon next to me. Brandon just finished getting his second surgery. Well, actually, he didn't get surgery. He had gotten his pinky toe ripped open from sandboarding, and they gave him stitches. Well, they gave him, I wouldn't even call it stitches, like three stitches on a pinky toe left it falling apart. And obviously the stitches came out. And so we're back here at the hospital our third time this week. And that's the doctor. When you record at hospitals, the doctors pop in. And so it turns out he has a fungus. I'm recording with Brandon. That's where we're at right now. And as a part of the Daniel Blum introduction, I'm going to cut right to the chase. Episode number 10 from our Save the Dina Tour documentary is out, and it features us traveling from Banos to Montanita for Carnival. Now, we had no idea what we were getting into, but that Carnival potty, it is Banos, so it could be a potty.
Land of the toilets.
We do go from toilets all the way to Montanita in Ecuador, and things get wild. Brandon fell off a cliff. So we might be in the hospital right now, and he might actually be here because I don't know if he made it or not. You're going to have to check out the episode to find out. That's on our YouTube channel, and if you're not subscribed, please make sure you go and subscribe because we're putting out travel videos, adventures, interviews with ridiculously cool people that we meet along the journey, and of course, a documentary, Save the Dina Tour. It's wild and a bunch of wacky characters. Now, Brandon, that face you're giving me, that's the face of someone who hasn't had people use his Amazon portal recently. Now, I know what you're thinking out there, but I do my shopping much easier by clicking Amazon.com. Why should I use that one extra step of going to On the Bus podcast before clicking Amazon portal? Well, like I said, you're 3.5 minutes into listening to our introductions. What is one extra click? Look, I'm not going to do the same introduction that Brandon does and put you down a twisting, winding, spiral staircase into your own brain cavity trying to figure out what the hell you're talking about. No, I'm not going to do that at all. Instead, I'm just going to ask you simply to click that portal right there on the homepage, favorite it, go in, make some of your purchases. I don't know. Buy a can of worms? I don't know what people buy on Amazon.
You can buy that on there.
Yeah, you buy whatever you want. You can buy it there. Now, our next sponsor is Green Roads World. Green Roads World is a CBD company. Now, CBD. What is CBD? Is it controversial? It's a part of the marijuana plant. Well, it isn't controversial because the marijuana plant has two sides. It has the THC and then it has the CBD. CBD goes a long way in helping inflammation in your body, in helping you recover from many different things such as when you work out.
I'm going to drink a bunch, like a whole gallon of it tonight. I wouldn't suggest anybody else drink a gallon of it, but I have a high tolerance.
So if you get salmonella or giardia, that's right, which I did, it helped my stomach. When I got altitude sickness, well, I drank a little bit of that, and it put me right out, headache gone, altitude sickness gone. Hey, you rip your toe open while sandboarding and get a fungus disease from it?
I should put some on there. Put some CBD oil on there.
CBD helps with that too. You know why? You know why you can just put that on there? Because they don't just have ones you can drink and they don't just have gummy bears. They have topical creams. And Brandon's going to be using that before he goes night-night tonight. So head on over to greenroadsworld.com. Type in promo code
On the Bus, lowercase, one word, O-N-T-H-E-B-U-S, for a 15% discount on any and all orders at greenroadsworld.com. Again, that's promo code On the Bus. Give yourself or the people around you, the ones you love, the gift of good health.
And in Spanish, that's on the bus in minusculas. All right. Enough for our sponsors.
Now give me the mic back, and now it's on today's guest. We have Ernesto Carpio Tirado, a.k.a. Plomo, or should I say Plomo, a.k.a. Ernesto Tirado, a former soccer star, turned magician who has found a way to merge his two passions. Through his football pass, he was able to connect with esteemed individuals in the space that he now travels with the national team all around the world. He's even going to be traveling with them to the World Cup. Plomo is not just known for his talents, but he also has a TV show that just had his fifth season to be launched, and you can find that at El Fuera de Lista. You will see a link for that in the show notes. And you can find him on his Instagram at Plomo Magic, Facebook and Instagram, PLOMOMAGIC. Almost forgot how to spell magic there. So let's get into this episode. This is a real fun one. Intro music on, bus moving, get on it.
Okay.
You like Peruvian beer?
I think it's a matter of taste that you are used to, you know?
Yeah.
I love that one, but I know it's not an excellent beer, but it's the one that I have been tasting since I was little, so. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Southern California, those craft beers? You've seen like the craft beer scene.
Yes.
What do you think about that, like growing up on like?
Yeah, it's good. I'm not a big fan of beer either, but okay. I know I'm used to this one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But. I tried California, but Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Love it.
Banging.
Very good.
Banging.
Very good. Yeah.
One of my friends in Pasadena, dude. Actually, he at his dad's house, he has it on tap in his basement.
Oh.
That's
so sick. Yeah.
That's a dream right there.
Yeah, right?
Something he knows. Something we're all shooting for.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's that take to keep the beer flowing? He refills a keg all the time?
He uses like the smaller kegs, like the really tiny ones, and yeah, he just swaps them out. He's like, he travels for work, so he's home like a weekend every 5 weeks, you know?
Why would you get a beer keg?
Because, I mean, it's like a 10-bedroom house.
Because it's really good.
Yeah, like he's got a movie theater in the basement too that he never uses either, you know?
That's just called good etiquette right there. He knows what his guests like.
Exactly.
Mustard bars.
Yeah. What up? Mustard bars. What other tattoos you got?
This one here.
What's on the ace of spades right there?
This is my assistant.
Ah, nice. Keep her close by.
Yeah. So she has a card here and, you know, the magic hat and an ace of spades.
Yeah, that was some to refer to Alice in Wonderland right there. That's why I love Alice in Wonderland. That's why I assumed it there.
And little one here and one here in the back.
And you get these all from the conventions you go to?
No. A friend of mine is a tattoo artist. He used to live here and now he lives in the States. And he's the one that put me in contact with these people of Ink Magazine. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
When's the next time? July's next time you head back to
July,
the States?
Yes.
Where's that convention in New York?
New York.
Where?
In the Hilton.
Right on 6th Avenue, Avenue of Americas?
No, 6th Avenue near.
It's a big one, I know.
Yeah,
that, yeah.
About a few blocks away from Central Park, and yeah,
It's
very nice.
Badass.
You like New York?
Yeah, I've been there a lot the past year. My girlfriend lives up there, so I've been in and out of New York. Know it way too well now. When I was in school at Syracuse, and we'd always play basketball in Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Wow.
So we'd be down there, all of a sudden you start learning. I mean, you got so good with knowing where everything in Manhattan was. And now, you know, I'm never going to learn it. It's so big. You learn the cross streets. You learn the avenue.
Yeah, but it's a city that can always surprise you, you know? Every time I go, I discover something new.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's hard to go back and do the same thing
because, of course.
You said, you do discover. And then once you find out there's a Brooklyn, there's a Queens.
Yeah.
I mean, no one heads to Staten Island. But
compare for me to Lima because I have spent almost no time in New York. I just look at it as this hustle city from a distance or everyone wears black, and I'm not actually sure if that's what it's like.
Well, Lima is a big city for South America, you know.
It's 10, 12 million, right?
It's Lima is very special because you have the sea nearby and you have the mountain not so far. You have a lot of different people, you know, because you have a lot of immigration here in Lima. So you can find a lot of crazy things and people here in Lima. And if you go to the centro de Lima, you can go in some kind of joints that are New York alike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing to do in Lima?
I love to ride a bicycle. I move almost all day in the bicycle because I like to be riding and, oh, there's a new coffee shop. Bah, boom, take a coffee, you know. Oh, there's a new restaurant. Bah, try something to do. In ceviche, something new maybe. Now we have a lot of restaurants with a lot of offer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I even saw you guys. I was here in 2015. I didn't see, you know, that ability to rent, you know, like in New York or big cities in the U.S., you know, the Citibank, they sponsor and put those bikes everywhere.
Yeah.
But I know they have that here now. Not Citibank, but the ability to do that. We've been working
Those are the blue ones that you can just rent. And
yeah. They have it in Miami. Town.
Yeah.
I've been working too much. I haven't had time to get on the bike, but that was an idea to get a bike and just
going in a bike in Miami is kind of crazy because you go all sweaty, you know?
It's all sweaty, and they're just so hard to get around town. Miami's not the place. Not, you need a car to get around there.
You have to.
You need a car. But here you can ride a bike.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be careful because the traffic is kind of crazy here. No bad.
Oh, yeah. I usually push it even when crossing the street or, you know, when you drive this bus. I can literally say, okay, what are you going to do? Are you going to really, you know, play chicken? And we're going to win every time.
And South American drivers are much more aggressive.
Oh, yeah. Walking this morning, I mean, when we were walking to the interview, that guy almost killed me.
Yes.
No problem. I was standing in the road in the crosswalk and just kept coming. And I waited until he was about, you know, close, me and you right here. Well, I had to finally back up, and because it's a tight angle, I had to keep backing up because that bus kept coming closer and closer.
It's definitely one of the closest I've seen for cars for not actually being an accident.
I received once a friend from Europe, and he told me this is like the perfect choreography, you know? Everyone, you think they are going to crash, but they pass, and the other pass, and this is like... It seems like it's rehearsal, but it's not. You know, it's how it is.
It's a bit synchronized. Like, everybody knows their body and like, their vehicle is their body, and they know it close enough, not just perfect enough where it's not going to hit.
Unlike the U.S., which is just pure order, street light. Everything's lights. You stop here. You can't go on yellow. Make a right, left.
Because there you have how do you say the lane? No, you have three lanes and you have three cars. Here you have three lanes and you have five cars, you know, and one is trying to get
there's
in.
There's no really lanes, you know, it's all blends together.
Whatever you can make from it. I think, too, like, you get outside the U.S. and it's just a different idea of, like, what's a win and what's a victory, what's a big victory, small victory, and someone just, you know, cutting in front of you or not letting you get by, that's a win.
Yes,
that's like a big victory for some people in some places.
Yes.
And it's you don't realize, you think like, oh, this person's just an asshole, you know, fuck you, you didn't let me over, but like, it could be a big win for somebody.
Here we say that, te cago. Te cago. Here we say that. When you're in your car and someone goes by, ahead you, and you say, ooh, te cago, te cago. It's like, sí, te cago, te cago.
Another thing to get spray painted
like
on the bus.
Move, like, is that like smooth move?
Yeah. It's like they go, ooh, and then you and you start like racing. Have you seen that here? No.
People
is like, no, I go first. No, I go first.
But I think it's not even it's that. Plus, no one just wants to let you go ahead. It's like if I let this person get ahead of me, that's one thing I'm gonna win. I'm not gonna get by.
Because if you go ahead, the one that is at the side of him is gonna say, Te cago.
So it's Tecao points.
Tecao is.
It's a small win. Game. Everybody's getting points.
Yeah. Whoever gets the most Tecao points, I'm counting. I'm keeping track.
But you driving this bus, or you have like bikes here and you?
No, we drive this thing. Like I said, we stick it out, no problems. People want to come by, they want to get hit by this. Like we drove on some crazy one lane highways, up in the mountains. You know, from. Where were we?
Chimbote?
From where to Cajamarca?
Chimayo.
No, Chachapoya is to Cajamarca.
Yeah.
Oh. At night.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Their video is really ridiculous, and they're coming head to head with other trucks and vehicles on the highway, and their guys getting out. No, you get out of my way. And he's yelling, no, you get out of the way. We're bigger than you. Get out of the way.
It's just, you know, again, playing chicken. Like, who's going to back up?
Yeah.
And who's going to give up that little inch and that much space? But, you know, driving at night, you know, I know he woke up. He told me, like, Brandon, listen, like, he was shaking. Like, you got to drive. Get the bus out of my hands. Like, I'm done. And even some points for me where I'm like, stop. I get on Snapchat, make sure I got a time log, send to everybody. Hey, listen, I'm on this crazy road.
I love you.
I don't know if I'm going to make it.
It's one of those. And I push the envelope a lot. But take my chances.
And now you're going to Cusco.
Yeah. We'll be there late next week. We got a bunch of adventures, a lot of exploring.
It's a hard road. You know that, right?
Yeah. Getting up to about 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
And then I just know some of these drivers. I mean, they drive their bus around the mountainside. Crazy. Like 100 kilometers per hour plus. No problem. You see that one wheel on the inside leaning up like this. And I remember just doing that. I took a bus when I was here before, just regular charter bus, and again, like, they just throw it out there. Chipoya?
Yeah.
Oh, did you say the word? Tekoya?
Tekao.
Tekao.
Anyone who passes from now on.
I'm going to get spray painted or a license plate. Just.
Who's the one that drives? You drive?
90-95%, yeah. These guys, it's...
They trust you with his lives.
I got that image. I got the idea in the back of my head. I understand, you know, if I'm going to take this road or make this move, each decision comes into my mind, responsible for other people. I think everybody else does that.
How old
it.
Is this bus? 2004.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe who owned this bus.
Who?
I'll let you take a guess. Of who do you think we bought a school bus from in the United States and brought this from here?
What state?
Utah.
Utah. Oh. Karl Malone.
You're not far off.
John Stockton.
Keep going.
Charles Barkley.
Wrong state. Two high school Mormons, like 17-year-old Mormons. Your next guess?
Yes. I wasn't here.
See, that was my magic trick, you know? It was this card. No, it was this card. This was your card. And these two high school kids were selling a school bus that they had bought.
Why they bought it?
They wanted to go off on adventures in Utah.
They were using it in college to go off on adventures. Had two couches in here, and the floor was set up, and they were using it for their own adventures.
And so we saw an ad online. We knew we had to come to South America with this. We raised this money, so we flew out to Utah. We bought the bus. Good deal, good price. Yeah, they're Mormons. They weren't going to steal us.
And what is the route that you have been doing?
Well, we were going to go from Salt Lake City.
Okay.
To Houston. We had a deal with a friend. Her parents own a logistics company, the works. So we're about in Texas. We get to Texas. By the way, it's the worst drive from Utah to Texas. Just nothing.
It's empty. It's boring, bland.
I mean, you stop to go hiking, like you said, there's Arches National Park, Zion. It's beautiful. After that, after Utah, dead. Boring. The worst. And so we get to Texas, and he came to me like, there's a massive Category 5 hurricane, like going straight to Houston. And I'm like, oh, well, we got 4 or 5 days, you know, it's going to pass, you know, whatever.
Just head that way, yeah.
It was, once it got to Houston, like if this is Houston on the map, here comes the hurricane, it just stopped. And it just spun here, and it was here, and then it came inland, and then it came back, and then it came back in for like a week, and just destroyed Houston. So it's like a day before we're supposed to get there. The hurricane's kind of passed through, but the port wasn't open. We couldn't go there. So we're like, ah, fuck. What are we going to do? So I parked the bus in Austin. My girlfriend was flying in. He went to Costa Rica to play poker. I was going to stay with the bus. And then we wait a month. We wait it out. We drive it back to Houston. We drop it off in the port. Papers, customs, everything. We're good to go. We fly. We meet him in Costa Rica. We met him. It was another trip. It was a good question. We met this guy online on Reddit. Aces. And then we get to Costa Rica. We do a piece there on a woman with a dog sanctuary. We're going to fly back to Miami, recuperate. I call the company. Hey, where's your bus? Where's the bus? Is everything good? Can I get the paperwork? Oh, we forgot to put it on the boat. Like, this was supposed to be 4 days ago. Could have called me 4 days ago. Sorry. Now we got to drive back to Houston, fly to Houston, drive it to Miami, get it on a boat as soon as possible, like in a week, get to Colombia, and we shipped it to Cartagena. We've been starting everything from there.
Wow.
It's been a hectic 7 months. It's been
Cartagena, it's a nice place.
You like it?
Yeah, very hot.
I'm not a fan.
No?
No.
I liked it.
I loved it.
Yeah, Cartagena, the walled city, right?
Yeah.
No, nice place, the walled city. You cross to the islands? Like Playa Blanca and Baru.
Is that where DHL and whatnot was? Because that's all I know of just working, just going to the DHL there and then going to the customs and going to the port, going to the repair shop. That's all I know of.
We didn't go to Boca Grande, really. What's the island that's across from Playa Blanca, the wall city?
No? Playa Blanca and Baru. Did you go there?
Yeah, I was there about 10 days to 2 weeks before they got down here. Before meeting the two, so I went to like San Blas and I did a bunch of island trips.
Nice
stuff.
Place. Yeah, super beautiful.
See me? I was in the repair shop, customs.
Someone has to work.
Didn't get a chance.
And then you do Cartagena and...
Then we spent 2 or 3 weeks in Cartagena getting the bus built.
Okay.
in Torices, which is outside the walled city, which is the part that they tell you not to go. So we spent some time there getting this puppy built before we got outside Cartagena.
If you ever need anything built, the Supernova Garage. Shout out Supernova Garage. Forever in our hearts.
But for a city that takes a long, in the nicest possible way, it takes as long as possible to get anything done.
Don't be nice.
This, I am being nice. This, he was as fast as possible. He wanted work from us 2 days before, or he was upset that he didn't have work to do. So there's always a little light in the bad.
You can't want to do a big travel like this and don't have problems, right? You have to have problems because they do the adventure more fun. Now you laugh. You were angry at that time. But
no,
you're laughing now.
No, I'm never going back. Ever.
Well, and then you went out.
Up the coast to Barranquilla, Santa Marta, Taganga, and then down to Bucaramanga, Bogota, then across to Medellin, everything around Medellin, coffee country. And then we crossed over into Ecuador. No, can't skip after coffee country. That was the trampoline of death.
What?
The trampoline of death.
Where is that?
It's another road that you go from Popayan, then you go over to San Agustin.
Okay.
And then to Macoa, and then Macoa takes you through the jungle. It's called the Trampoline of Death. It's another one-lane road, very few guardrails, only rocks and pebbles. And that was pretty death defying. That was our first crazy drive. And then that takes us to Pasto, and then we cross the border. And then Ecuador is actually great.
But you're a good driver.
Ecuador is smooth.
I was mejor. I'm the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's better.
You're like, yeah.
If we survived so far, but I mean, we still got Bolivia. And Bolivia's roads are crazy.
Yeah.
Even every road there is crazy.
Have you been to Bolivia?
Yes. It's not so nice. Sorry.
Say sorry to them. I'm not I'm not insulted.
Well,
you know how many Bolivian listeners we have? Three.
Yeah, three. Sorry to those three. You know, where we go with the national team to, you know, as you know, I've traveled with the national team of soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to La Paz, Bolivia, the plane, you know, when you're in a plane and you say that the plane is descending now to the city of, I don't know, Miami. The plane is descending now to the city of Lima. When you go to La Paz, it's like the plane is here.
Yeah, because it's at 12,000 feet.
Yeah. So you get down, we get down the plane and there is no how do you say the one that the La Manga,
the stairs, the stairs that come up to the plane.
Yeah.
Escalator.
Yeah, they have like
the connection thing that comes to the airport.
Yeah. They don't have that. You know, they have like a stair, like you have to go down, and we're there in the airport, and where are the customs? Where are the you know, I don't know, the immigration.
It's very loose though, yeah.
And one friend told me, oh, it's over here. So I start walking with two guys, and we pass the door, and somehow we were on the street, outside the airport. Where's my suitcase? And a little guy come running with my suitcase. Oh, here's your suitcase. Gracias. Oh, okay. And taxi.
Well, that's a big thing, traveling with big sports teams. I remember with like Syracuse being a big university basketball team. We never had to go through airport security. We took the bus to the fences where the cops were, and we take the bus right to the airplane, get on the airplane, no security, and this is just American college basketball, and we never had any problems. First class.
Well, you were kind of a star there.
Nah. Not too big time.
Not too big time.
Well, tell me how big it is that Peru's made it to the World Cup. Not a big deal, or...
Super big deal. It's like... amazing, because here we love soccer and we haven't been there in the world champion like since 1982.
Really?
Yeah, so it's 36 years and we really love soccer here. People love soccer and we were so bad, or bad luck or whatever you want, but we weren't there and now we are. So we're, people is crazy about that.
Well, what are they doing now that elevated their team?
We have better players. We have an excellent coach. Ricardo Gareca is the Tiger. It's an amazing coach.
With a name like that.
Yeah, the Tiger.
You better make the World Cup.
Yeah. And they work. they are taking it seriously, you know, professional.
Well, I mean, this year's qualifying, I mean, South America's qualifying is always so tough because
very
the teams,
tough. That's the biggest problem.
There's so many good
Brazil,
teams.
Argentina, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Colombia, Paraguay, Uruguay.
Yeah, Uruguay now, especially, too. I mean,
even like Paraguay and Uruguay have been fantastic recently, so it's very hard to
compete. Chile with Vidal,
Chile,
Alexi Sanchez.
And they are not going to the World
Are they your enemy? See, you can hear from in there. That's the answer.
That's how important it is.
Take a hole. I have very good Chilean friends and my family there also. I go. It's a very beautiful country, but there's a, you know how you say it. It's not an enemy. It's a rival.
Yeah,
the rival. Classic. You know the team that you always want to win and you never want to lose with. You know? Here in South America, it's like Brazil, Argentina, Peru, Chile.
But this year's qualifying was interesting because like it came down to one last game and there was like five teams that all had a chance to get in. I think even Argentina was like at 25 points. Brazil had 41. Who else is in second?
Chile. Uruguay, Colombia.
Uruguay, Colombia. Yeah. So Colombia, Peru, Ecuador, and four or five teams.
Yeah,
Argentina
yeah.
were right there. You guys were playing Colombia
yeah.
in that last game too. So you both either you know, the tie was going to hurt somebody, was going to win some.
The night before... The team, I was like very anxious and I was like, I'm gonna get a heart attack now. And I went to my Facebook and Instagram page and put my last will. So, if something happens to me tomorrow in the stadium, I want my Star Wars collection to go to my skateboard to go to this, my bike, my motorcycle, blah, blah, blah. And I put it, and my wife said, you're crazy. What are you doing with that? And I say, I want that everything is in order if I must go tomorrow. And when I was in the stadium, I used to watch the games. I don't know if you have you seen the videos in the back of the el arco, el bah. This is the field and here is the where is the goalkeeper?
Mm-hmm.
How do you say this?
The goal.
The box.
The goal.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm always 18. Behind, near the field, and I was with the cell phone, like looking the other teams, the other plays, and 2-1. No. Oh, goal! Paraguay. Goal. And there is like 23 minutes when we were out, totally out of the World Cup. And I was like sweating, eating the fingernails, yelling, and then Venezuela scores. And all the same, and we were again in.
The whole
stadium and then, I don't know,
screams and there's nothing
Chile
for this game.
Scores and we were out. And then it was crazy, you know.
Where was the game at? Was it in Peru or in Colombia?
Here in Peru.
In Lima?
Yeah, in Lima.
You saw the whole stadium screaming for plays. They're in the middle of the field passing the ball around and the whole entire stadium is absolutely
yeah.
going mad.
It was amazing,
yeah.
really.
Well, I think that's what everybody loves, you know, not just tournament styles, but they love playoffs because
yeah.
when there's so much more in jeopardy for one game, it makes it that enticing. So if you like think about basketball, it's got 82-game season. You realize how much is it for like this end and how much is it for entertainment and for someone to have a job or filling jobs that go within the business
yes,
of the company.
Of course.
You know, that's why, you know, especially when it's a nationalistic thing, like, whether it's World Cup, Copa America, you know, the Euro Cup, it's so much more exciting. Every game counts. You got to win this game. You got to
yeah.
get these points to qualify. So even, like, the World Cup qualifying, I mean, if you don't start playing good earlier, you could be fucked.
Every time is a final. Yeah. But sometimes in the NBA, when they go to the final and they are 2-2, there is an exciting game.
Oh, yeah, especially with the home field advantage being advantage or disadvantage. And if you don't win this game, you got to go back and fly 6 hours across the country to go play another game.
But that's why the NFL is so popular in the United States because every single game matters. There's so much parity. People lose. Great teams lose to bad teams on the road all the time.
Yes.
Action every single solitary play.
I didn't get to watch the NBA All-Star game this year, but they did it a completely different way. They took the people with the two most votes, which is LeBron and Steph Curry, and they had them pick. Didn't matter what conference.
Really?
Yeah. It's like when you and your mates are going to play soccer and you say, I pick him and I pick him.
That seems like way more fun. But I'm thinking in my head what politics LeBron has to go through when he's picking certain
but
players.
But that's the thing. Like, they didn't release like who got picked first. So I think LeBron had first pick, but they didn't let him. Adam Silver, the commissioner, didn't release who gets first pick and who got picked first. Who did LeBron pick first? Was it Kevin Durant? Was it this? Was it that? Was that? That would have been great. I mean, they should have televised that.
Definitely.
I mean, that's on TV. Definitely. That's primetime television right there.
Who was your favorite player of the NBA all times?
All time? I mean,
don't tell me Michael Jordan because it's
Reggie Miller. One of the most hated people.
But I mean, it was Michael Jordan. But I built everything around that.
Let's keep Michael Jordan apart because he's like the god of basketball. Right?
Yeah.
Another one.
Okay. Jason Williams, okay. White Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, really. You want to say, or Pistol Pete? You know, out there, short white players who were able to be hustle, good court savvy, good vision on the floor, could see everything, could do things. You know what they did just seemed.
So John Stockton, you like him?
Him as well. Yeah, yeah. Short white guards, relatable thing.
Yeah. I love Dennis Rodman. Because I don't know, he's like a man, showman, you know.
He is definitely a showman,
complete showman. I remember even getting his book. Because I mean, again, Bulls fan.
He's like that in real life. Like he's like that every single day.
He lives, you know, very close to where we live.
Like, I've seen him at the casino dancing in the rain with prostitutes. I mean, he lives like that every single day.
Just lives it. You know, we're on Fort Lauderdale Beach, a few 20 miles from Miami. You know, a regular bar. You know, it's a bunch of 20, 30 somethings. You know, there. Dennis is there. Dennis is hammered right now.
Dennis knows.
Dennis Fox.
Yeah. But Dennis got three championships. One with the Lakers, one with the Celtics, and one with the Bulls.
He got late with the Lakers, like at the end of his career at the Lakers?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really, really. You can look at
I know he was number 73 like in the late 90s of the Lakers, but he stole one?
Yeah.
He got one with them?
Yes.
Because sometimes you don't miss that with the rings, because
Let's see.
He's the 30 for 30. Is he in the 30 for 30?
We have technology.
Well, he was with the Pistons, too. He got two of the Pistons as well.
With the Pistons.
Yeah, three of the Bulls, two of the Pistons, and supposedly this one with the Lakers. I mean, I'm not doubting you, but if this is true, good for him.
Look. That is right.
Is it true? Is it true? Is it true?
Five NBA championships, 89, 90, 96, 97, 98. 98, the LA Lakers.
No, that was after the Bulls. He got this one with the Bulls. Lakers didn't win in 90. This was when the Spurs won in 98, 99. That's the teams he played for.
It's like, what is it, Robert Ory who has...
The NBA.
Robert Ory who has all those championships with the...
With the Spurs.
The Lakers, with Spurs.
Rockets.
Here, 98, 99 with the Lakers.
No, but they didn't win a championship. See how the T's right next to those? The championship seasons with the Bulls, 97-98.
Oh, this.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I was like, oh, shit, he got another ring with them? Cause he just slid in the back door. Because the same thing happened with Anderson Varejao last year. Mm-hmm. He was on, what's it called? Cleveland long enough. Or this was 2 years ago when they lost, right? Yeah. So 2 years ago when they lost, Cleveland traded him to Golden State. And he was on Cleveland enough to still win a championship. This is when Cleveland won Kyrie and LeBron. And then he went to Golden State. So they still offered him. You know, he's a career player with Cleveland. You know, everybody at Cleveland was like, no. And Golden State was like, yeah, take the ring, dude. You deserve it. You know, you've been with this team forever. He wouldn't take it, though.
Well,
too proud of him. I mean, who are you really doing it for? Are you really doing it for, you don't want someone to think something about you? I mean, the same thing can be said with players who, like, what is it? Like, you think about the Boatengs, who, like, one plays for Germany.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other one plays in Africa.
Ivory Coast,
right?
Yeah.
Who does Prince play for Ivory Coast? King Prince Boateng? I think
he plays for Ivory Coast or Ghana.
Ghana.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, what is that worth? I mean, and how do those guys go get citizenship? And I mean, someone who's trying to immigrate the country because they actually have dangerous reasons for leaving their country, they can't go get citizenship someplace or somewhere. It's tough.
Well, it's tough. It's a tough decision, but well.
I mean, it's football, though.
Yeah.
Football reigns supreme over people's lives.
We don't know what's in the middle, also, no?
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some incredible stories of football players. I grew up with a kid. He was at 9-10 years old. He was gun running in Africa, and he was an incredible soccer player, and he got found and brought to the United States, ended up playing professional there, and then he goes home. Instead of continuing his career, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to go back to Africa to help bring peace to his country. So you have, you know, the stories of people that are able to come out successful from something so negative, especially from sports.
Well, I know with basketball too. I mean, I have plenty of guys from Africa I've played with.
Yeah.
You know, same things. Your stories of child soldiers.
Wow.
Yeah. Nuts stuff. There's a guy, I mean, a lot of guys do that too for kids in high school. They'll bring them over while they're still, you know, either they don't have a birth certificate, number one, they're 7 feet tall.
They're lying about their age.
And they say they're 16 years old still. Yeah. Now they're in high school. I mean, it gives the kid a great opportunity and a chance to do something obviously could never possibly done. You know, but you hear some of these kids' stories. You know, this is what they were doing a few months ago, a few
Amazing.
Years ago, to turn it on and off.
Well, that's a good thing about sports. You know, it can change people's life, really. And then you, if you do something important in sport, maybe you can change people's life in the place that you became. Like this George Weah, now he's the president of his country.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Striker from
Liberia.
Liberia, yes.
Yeah, played for Chelsea,
yeah,
AC
yeah.
Milan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's the president.
Yeah, I listen to my BBC News right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you played football growing
yeah.
up.
I love soccer. I really love it, but I have a little issue with... I don't know. I was like very immature when I was 19 years old, 18, and I want to fight everyone, so
mm-hmm.
I couldn't make it.
Well, I mean, I made a mistake where I should have stayed in the country to play and wanted to go to another country because more money was on the table. I go to that country, I got my first serious string of injuries that slowly snowballed into other injuries that kept, you know, playing. So it comes down to that what if, you know, you not getting in that fight, me not staying in that country.
I was talking about that a few days ago in an interview in the radio. I was saying that I have no regrets because you don't know.
Yeah.
If I didn't did that, where I didn't know if I was I was going to be here now, and you never know. You just have to live and do what you're doing.
I mean,
because if you look back like, oh, I used to, I have to, I would, I don't know. I prefer to look forward.
Do you find those things to be as passionate as you were for soccer as a kid growing up, or?
No.
No?
No. No, it's, I think you're never going to be as passionate as when you were a kid, you know? You remember when you were 15 and you fall in love?
It's basketball for me.
It's deep, you know? It's never is going to be the same again, you know? I love my wife, I love my kid, but I remember love when I was 15, 16, and it's totally different because you are pure feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have another issues in your head. That's basketball for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Started playing when I was 4 or 5, and, you know, to find something you'd be as passionate about, to think so blindly, like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You remember people laughing. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be a professional basketball player. Yeah, sure, cute. You know, you're 12 or even you're 16, people still laughing. Like, no, that's what I'm going to do. Just didn't care.
Sitting in school, daydreaming, every single thought was about the sport.
That play, okay,
exactly.
What am I going to do next time I get on the court? I'm going to come over here, I'm going to pass that ball there. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good play. And just save it for later. All right, practice later.
I was in the school all day doing, like, the lineups of my team, you know. I was like, here, da, and they say, hey, Plomo. And I had the mad lesson there. And I was in a school that... I was like the soccer star of the school, me and this other guy that is my best friend. And we have a lot of, how do you say this in English, of benefits, you know? If you want to miss class, yes, don't worry, guys. Go there to the gym, or rest.
Yeah,
and we won the a lot of championships in the school, the different ages. So we were like rock stars in the school, you know? Until now, I, when I went to my school to visit, when I go to visit, and they love me. You know, all the teachers come to say hi, and there's a big picture of us when we got the championship.
Badass.
Yeah. So when you're a little kid, you leave that a lot of intensity.
Well, I mean, you still got the thing. You still got this. You got this new thing, magic. We've been doing magic, that you said, since you were since you visited California as a kid. Yeah. But you also have sports, and you don't realize those are vehicles to take you, you know, around the world.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I have. I will say that this is a, you know, this is a deck of cards, but it's a little box, right? And I say I got a little box that got me through the world. You know, I have been in Europe, in the States, all South America, Colombia, Ecuador, Brazil, Argentina, doing magic, and you know, with a little box and a Sharpie, and making theaters and working in bars and restaurants and getting everywhere. And now that I have this TV show that is combined soccer with magic, and I have to go. I am going to the World Championship, to the World Cup, to Russia with my country. Okay, I'm not a player, but I'm a magician, so I'm going to be there representing. You know, it's like a dream come true.
I mean, every team needs a magician. You need a team magician. I mean, that might be the difference this time.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that think that's the difference. You know? Yeah, and they meet with me in the streets and say, "Hey, Plomo, you got the luck for the team. You and your magic. Thank you. And I say, "Okay, yes."
Of course.
And you know Christian Cueva. You know who he is? Mm-hmm. He's the number 10 of our team.
Okay. I've seen a lot of the Guerrero jerseys.
Opposition.
Okay. He's a midfielder. Okay.
At 10. They got everything's by numbers.
Yeah.
The positions, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. But where? He used to put one card here and then put the sock, and every time he does that he scores. And here they made us an interview in the newspaper.
Really?
Because yeah, the magic of Plomo and Cueva. Okay. If you want to believe that, it's okay. You can find a video.
Can I get one for my sock, please?
Yeah, every time you I drive on a dangerous road.
You know, I have the Facebook fan page of the show.
What
here,
the
El Fuera de Lista, and the people used to write me a lot, like different things. And one time, I was not being able to sleep.
I gotta put the keys in. Right there. One second, gonna hit the lights.
So don't worry.
We'll cut this part out.
Okay. Oh. Portable lock.
What's that?
Oh. So that's like the ice cream lock that goes on the window right there.
Okay. Daylight.
One more. There's one more right there. To the right of it. Yeah. How's that look on there? Better?
Looks nice and yellow.
Well, as I was telling, one night I got a message. This guy told me, "Hello, Plomo. I am from Surquillo. It's a place here in Lima. I'm a woodcrafter. No, I make beds and furniture for the houses, and my business is not going doing well. So I was wondering if you can send me a card, so I can put here, next to my office. I don't know, so if I can get luck like Christian Cueva." And I say, "Okay, don't worry. Where is your where's your shop? I send you a card." And I sent him a card. And 2 weeks later, he was like, "Thank you, Plomo. The sales are raising up with your magic." And I say, okay. If you want to believe it, it's true.
Well, so we probably went on social media and said, "Hey, I got a card from Plomo. This guy gets a card from Plomo. I got to go shop here, there. You know, that was the good luck.
You're going to be okay." So you want to see a magic trick?
We want to see a magic trick.
I actually want one of those cards, too. Magical.
Real magic
cards, right?
This is I know what I want. Let's play. You told me you play poker, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know when you play poker, you have to shuffle and then cut, and then you have to. The traditional poker is five people, 3, 4, 5, and originally the American poker was five cards each, right?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Those were the old days.
The old days, right?
Pre-Texas Hold'em.
Yeah. Okay. And then you have the opportunity to change, right? So let's see. I'm going to change first, so you don't think I'm going to some trick. I'm going to change like 4. two, three, four. And you can see, and you can see if you want to change. Maybe. I put the cards here. I'm not going to touch
it. Take a look and then decide, yeah? Okay.
You can look and decide.
It's tough.
I'm with my hands up, right? I haven't.
Change two.
Okay, two.
Five card was always one of my favorites.
Two, one.
Three for me.
Two. How are you?
Three.
I need
three.
One more.
Okay. Three for you. Okay. Oh. So. You see me and you have me on video shuffling and cutting and then dealing and then changing, right? Let's see. Wait.
Get out of here.
Well.
Well, that is what I have.
Read them and weave. Guys, we what did we bet again?
Can you hold those up one more time if they're still there? Just a casual royal flush.
He had all my kings.
I'm close to a straight flush.
Pair of kings.
I had two pair.
Really?
Yeah.
Patrick was.
Oh, yeah.
could you do that again?
Look at this. Let's do something. You cutting, take any card you want, any card at all. Okay. Look at your card. You like it? You want to change? Blah, blah. It's okay?
Beautiful.
Okay. Sign it.
Sign it?
Yeah.
Hold it up for the camera.
Sign it on this side?
Yeah.
Oh, you can look at the reflection in the glass over there.
Okay. Give me the Sharpie. So.
You're going to like that one.
Any card. You sign it. Mm-hmm. Right? You take it.
Thank you.
And you please put it here. Okay. Look. I'm just going to cut. Go like this. And I hope it's not on the top, okay? I hope it's not at the bottom. I think it's somewhere there. You know how to, you, snap your fingers? Every time you snap your fingers, I do like this, and the card goes up, okay? Like this, look, with the signature. Put it here, there. Can you please snap your fingers for me? And goes up. wait, look, slow motion. Six of clubs in the middle. Goes on top.
I don't know how you did that one.
The six of clubs here in the table. Goes on top. look at this, for the camera, look. The six of clubs, I'm gonna bend it like this. So you can see, when I put it in the middle, you can see the card, right? Like this. Now, if I snap my fingers, one, two, three, the card goes on top. You see? It's the six of clubs.
Always the six of clubs.
look at this. Pull the card here. Damn. And I say...
So say six of clubs on your phone?
Look. One, two, three. You see?
What the heck?
Look at this.
It's on his phone right now.
Look. One, two, three. You can open the card, please.
That's a good one.
It can't be the six of clubs.
Oh my god, it's the six.
The six, three of clubs.
Well, now you gotta get a new deck. I mean,
take any card you want.
What about the six of clubs?
Take it. You like it? You want to change? It's okay.
No, it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah.
Good card.
Good card.
Yeah.
You show it to the camera, not to me. Let's do something different, okay? Something harder. Put it whatever you want. And shuffle, please.
Oh man, you gotta catch me shuffling on camera. It's an old lady.
Oh, no.
I might break the
give
card.
Give me these. Give me these.
He asked me to shuffle. bison hands over.
One chance to show off my shuffling skills.
All right. Okay.
It's good. It's good work. Good work.
He'll never find it.
I think it's pretty difficult, but let's see.
It's pretty difficult.
Tell me any number you like.
Can it be above 12?
12.
You just said a number, not above any number.
12. Okay. Please check those 12s and show to the camera that they have nothing inside. And
nothing inside. Oh.
Nothing weird, right? You do, please. This is very, very important. Like, do like, be sure nothing. Close it to the camera.
Take a bite.
Okay. Look at this. I'm gonna take the hearts and diamonds like this. One, two. One card in the middle, right?
Yeah.
You took one card and you shuffle and you mix. Would you be amazed if it's this card?
I'd be amazed.
If it's a six of clubs, I'll be amazed. Yeah,
because your card is here, bended.
No.
No.
That was my card.
My mind's blown right now. That was a good one.
Yes. Bravo, sir.
Thank you.
Go get this guy a beer.
Well, this is for you, for good luck, okay?
One for your sock and one for my sock.
Keep this. Okay, one for you and one for you.
Going in my sock. Oh, unbelievable.
So, that's what I do.
You have a fun job.
Yeah, of course.
What is it about magic? I mean, I don't think anything... I can't think of something that all four of us just sat here and we're just so amused and so entertained and so enticed about before. What is it about magic?
You know, I used to think that magic is boring because I always saw the magician with the hat, you know, and the magic wand and the, I don't know how you say, the
cape.
The cape, and I say, oh wow, that's so boring, so lame. So I started doing magic like with my, you know, like this and sneakers and a t-shirt. And when I start doing magic like that, all the old magicians here say, oh, what's that? You have to use a hat, you have to. And I see, magic has to be fun, you know, has to be close to people. Because when you see, I don't know, when you're in a theater and you see this magician, you know, over there with the cape and the hat and the magic wand doing like abracadabra, I think it's, man, it's not real, you know. You know he's cheating on you. But when you see a guy just like you with a deck of cards near you that makes you a trick in front of you, I think this is more amazing and it's more impressive, you know, and it's fun. And I think this has to be fun. I prefer the ha 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 than the ooh. But it's a matter of style, you know. Mm-hmm. That's who I am. I don't think I can be that guy with the hat and the magic wand and the suit, how do you say, the tuxedo. You know? So this is my style. This is what I love. Deck of cards and Sharpie. We can do hours of magic.
You're really building a connection to people. Yeah, through understanding, through very similar, through your style.
Yeah, every time I go to the stadium, to the national stadium where the national team is going to play, I went to the, how do you say in English this word? The little guys that are outside the court and are giving the balls and taking the balls back. The
runners.
Yeah, ball boys. Yeah, runners.
The ball boys. And I took all the ball boys and always make them some magic trick. And they are like, whoa, the best reactions ever are from them, you know? And 5 minutes of your time can make people happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. Yeah. That's what I love about magic, the reactions of the people. Like you guys, oh, my head is blowing. What? You know, that's better than, I don't know, money or... I don't chase money.
Mm-hmm.
I chase being happy and have a good time. Oh, I want money because I need to live, you know. I need to pay the rent. I need to pay, I don't know, my diapers for my kid and everything. But money, happiness. I prefer happiness. Ah. Like you guys, you're traveling because you love what you do. You love money also, but you love what you do most. So I think that's the important thing.
It's the worthy sacrifice.
Yeah.
We're not going to take any more of your time right there. It's the best place to end it. But real quick, you know, I'm sure everybody in Peru knows you, but everybody back home where we're from, any place specifically, is it YouTube, Facebook that you want to direct them so they can find out more about what you do?
Yeah, all my social media is at Plomo Magic, Plomo Magic, P-L-O-M-O Magic, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and my TV show is called El Fuera de Lista. You can find it in the net also. And you can listen to me in the radio every day, Monday, Friday, 11 to 1, and radio double nine.
Is it online? People could listen to your radio
in
the States?
Yeah, it's like here.
I was going to ask, how many cards, do you go through in a week?
One a day.
He needs money, guys. Deck of cards a day, and is it 99 cents?
Yeah.
Three soles.
Yeah, three soles.
Did just buy that deck of Peruvian birds.
Radio doble nueve.
.com.
.com. Yeah.
All right, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's all. Well, thank you guys.
No, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
We used up that full hour. We got a magic. We got the magic tricks. I'm gonna get some good luck, like the football player.
Yeah. There you go. Leave it there. Trust me.
Just like the sock. Yeah. We won't be able to can't see it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Peace.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Plomo, thanks again for coming out. It was a real pleasure to have you. I know you rolled in on your bike and just sat down right away. We recorded a great show. Remember, everybody, if you want to find Plomo, you're going to find him at Plomo Magic on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want to check out his TV show, it's El Fuera de Lista. And you're going to see that on Facebook and YouTube. Again, all those links will be in the show notes. And his website is plomomagic.com. Real easy to find, real easy to go. And remember, guys, if you like the show, Plomo listeners, regular on the bus listeners, remember to hit that subscribe button. Give us a comment. Give us a 5-star review in the comment box on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen to this podcast. And make sure you go check out our YouTube page at On the Bus Podcast to see all the behind the scenes of how we get these shows going, how we connect, how we get around the continent of South America. And go check out that Amazon portal at onthebuspodcast.com, as well as Green Roads World and our other affiliates. I don't think I got more time for the music to play. So the bus.
For those who...
Cheers.